charity is love. It's a type of love. It's sad to say that the world has destroyed what love actually is. They've clouded it up. They have they've muddied what it actually is. People use the terminology flippantly. They get around somebody, they see each other for a couple of weeks, and then they just start talking about how they're in love. And then a couple of weeks later, they talk about how they fell out of love and can't stand anybody. I was reading, I don't know if you read this or not, about this Polish lady. She's 34 years old, and you're laughing because you read it, didn't you? She broke up with her boyfriend that she loved, and she's a dentist, and he came to her. He's in his 40s, and 45 I think he was, and he came up and said that he'd had some problem with his tooth, and she brought him in and gave him some wonderful drugs and a little bit too much drugs, and she said, "I thought I was able to separate my feelings from my profession." And she looked at him as he was drugged up and was unconscious and was just laying there after she gave him all the drugs and everything. And she looked at him and said, "Nope, I can't do it." She went and locked the door. She was the only person in there. And continued one by one and removed every single tooth in his mouth. Then wrapped him up, bandaged him up. When he came to, she said, "The bandage is there to help you out, but you need to go see a specialist." And she thought she loved him. She thought that she had all these emotions for him. And then she said, "I looked and I saw this man that caused me so much hurt that I couldn't help myself, and pulled out every single one of his teeth." Now, why that man thought in his infinite wisdom that I'm going to go see this girl that I just broke her heart and let her get into my mouth and work on it while I'm drugged up. I don't know what he was thinking, but I know what she was thinking. She said, "I'm going to show you." Now he's got to have dentures or whatever put in and cost him thousands of dollars, and she's looking at malpractice and everything else, but she thought she knew what love is. She thought. Because she thought that she knew what the world had said about love. She said, "Well, you know, it's depicted this way in the movies and Hollywood and everything else. You see people, how they get into relationships and they move in together and everything else, and they start living in their sin because they feel that it's the right thing to do because we love each other." And it's just a terminology now. The real idea of love is pretty much unknown by people. It's just to them it's a feeling. It's an emotion. And when that emotion stops for whatever reason, then to them the love has stopped. But that's not biblical love. That's worldly love. And sometimes we as Christians will intermix the two. And we start thinking about how love is a emotion. And we can get around people and we'll say, "You know what, these are my friends and I love them a lot." And then something happens and we base it off of an emotion. And when that emotion ceases because of whatever has happened, we feel that the love for them has stopped. But that's not what love is. That's just your emotions. Love is a decision, not an emotion. God said, "I love the world." He chose to make a decision to express His love toward everybody. regardless of anything else, he's made it clear that he loves the entire world. It's a decision. For us as here as Christians, we need to remind ourselves that the love that we have supposedly for our spouse, it's a decision. I've decided to love my wife. It's not emotion. So if we have a disagreement, which we never do, we're so in love. It doesn't matter. Because the decision has already been made. When the emotions may not be there as clearly, the decision is still there, though. I have decided to love her and love nobody else. That was the vows that I made. That was the promise that I stood in front of that church and promised her and her parents and everybody else that was there, my decision, not my emotion. And that's the foundation of our marriage, is that decision. And we have got to get it in our minds as Christians what love is. Because if we don't, when things come up and our emotions stop, we decide to break that love because of what we feel. Our emotions, though, can also be like our faith. The Bible says in James, where it talks about how, you know, that it could be like a wave driven with the sea and tossed. It just picks up and it rises up and it drops back down and it may rise back up, and it's like a roller coaster. Some people's emotions are more of a roller coaster than others. Some, it's a little bit more calmer. But nonetheless, it still rises and falls because we're emotional people. Amen. We let things affect us. You can watch a movie and be crying in it. For what? It's a movie. It's not real. It didn't happen. Even if they say that it's based off a true story, that just means they took a story, an idea, and then completely changed it to something else. It's Hollywood. But yeah, we'll sit there and we'll watch and we'll get so wrapped up in it. And Jordan's sitting there nodding his head because he tears up and cries like everybody else. And he watches it and gets so engrossed into it. And the tears start flowing. Why? Because it's our emotions. And then next thing you know, you get upset or you get angry, or because the thing changes on you and you're emotional. Sometimes our marriages and our lives can be the same way. They can become emotional based off of the circumstances that come around. And at that point, you have to make a decision. Am I going to love them the way that God said, which is a decision, or is it emotional? True biblical love is that decision. The Bible says in John 3:16, of course, we know the verse, for God so loved the world. The first thing about love is God loved the world. He made a choice. You realize God loved Osama bin Laden? That's hard for us to fathom. God loved Adolf Hitler. Benito Mussolini. God loved him. God loved that man so much that he died on a cross for him. God loved Osama bin Laden so much that when he died on the cross, he paid for the sins that Osama bin Laden would have done. That's his love. Now we sit there in our patriotism and we say, let's go ahead and make him pay for the decisions that he made. We say it because of our patriotism that how, you know, the acts that were taking place on September 11th, that we've already made our decision based off of our emotions. But God is able to put the emotions aside and say, the decision's already been made. Regardless of the actions that have taken place, I still am deciding to love them, regardless, number one, if they love me back. The Bible says that in 2 Peter verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His love. A decision already made prior to the acts that individual took. He's already decided what He's going to do. There's another passage. Let me see if I can get to it real quick. In Ephesians. See if I'm right. My brain is working right. The Bible talks about how in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which were on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Stop right there. What that's basically talking is God has said from the beginning of time, He has predestinated a package, so to speak, of love, of forgiveness of our sins. He says that in this you will get the riches according to His grace. You get an inheritance. You get to be adopted into the family of God. God says, I have predestinated this for you before the world even existed. I have already made the decision. But here's the thing. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. What He's saying is, this package is for everybody. It's set aside for everybody at the beginning of time. You get my love. You get my forgiveness. You get an inheritance. You get heaven. You get all of these things. It's set aside for you. But you first have to trust Me. It's a decision. Now, just like salvation is a decision for us, it's not an emotion. Because sometimes we feel saved, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we are on cloud nine and living and God's blessing and we say hallelujah. And then the next day comes and you sin or things may become difficult and you say, boy, I just don't feel saved today. Does God really love me? It's because of emotions. But the decision of salvation already took place. When you decided that you trust Christ as your Savior, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's sealed unto that day. We never have to worry it again. Based off of our emotions or not, it doesn't matter because the decision was made. We first trusted in Christ. So now we get all of these benefits because of our decision to trust Christ. God says, because of My love, the decision I've already made, you get it. Regardless of who you are. Regardless of what you've done. Isn't it amazing that God, that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for the very men that nailed Him to it. Can you imagine that? As they're nailing that nail into his arm, into his wrist there. And he says, oh, Father, forgive them. He was saying, I want them to go to heaven too. I've decided, even though they're doing this to me, I want them in heaven. I don't want them to perish. See, love, true love, is a decision that is made regardless if it's reciprocated. It is also a decision that is made regardless of the actions that are taken against us. There are people that purposely refuse to trust Christ as their Savior and choose Satan. They choose to... There's a group of people called Luciferianism. It's a quote-unquote religion that believes that Satan is actually God and that God is actually Satan. That's their decision. They're a bunch of idiots. They have it backwards. But they've convinced themselves that that's what they want to believe. God died for them too. When Jesus died on the cross, even though they say he's Satan, their sins can be covered by his blood just the same as yours and mine, because of his love for them. Amen. It's the very foundation of our Christianity is God's love. God's love is for everybody. It is for the whole world, regardless of what they want. But the world doesn't understand love because they don't know God. Amen. 1 John 4:9 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The definition of love is God. God is love. The two are pretty much the same. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The world does not know what true love is because they don't know God. They can't experience God's love because they've never experienced God's salvation. But yet for us, we've experienced God's love. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we've got a home prepared for us in heaven. But yet we forget that love that we're supposed to have for everybody else is the same love that God had for us when we trusted him as our Savior. Love must be the center of our relationships, which means that God must be the center of your relationship. You can't have one without the other. If you leave God out of your relationship, regardless if it's at work, if it's at home, if it's with your wife or your friends, if you leave God out of it, you cannot love them the right way. It's impossible. Because God is love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Did you ever hear the saying that love is blind? You see somebody walking down and you see this lady, and she's holding on to this guy, and you think, boy, is she blind? Does she not see what everybody else sees? I joke around all the time. My brother's getting married in a month, and it baffles me. I'm going to tell him to listen to this tape too. It baffles me because I know my brother. I grew up with him. We used to fight all the time, and I used to win. because I'm bigger than him. But it baffles me because I know him. I know he's quirky. He's just my brother. But yet his fiance Sarah doesn't see him that way. She sees him as the knight in shining armor. She cries because they're so far apart. And I think that's a good thing. That's gonna help you guys. But she doesn't see it that way. And he doesn't see it that way. And it's funny because Sarah's brother says the same thing. He says, I don't understand why your brother likes my sister. She's weird. It doesn't make sense. It's a decision, though. They've decided that they're going to be there for each other, regardless of what other people may see, regardless of the flaws that I see in my brother. She looks past that. She's already decided to. She knows they exist, but it doesn't bother her. My wife looks past my flaws. And I'm so excited for that. Because I got a lot. And everybody else that's married here, if they got a good marriage, they'll say the same thing. They look past the flaws that everybody else sees. And they say, I'm going to decide to love that person. I know that they're not perfect. They may not be the Mr. Physique, but it doesn't matter. I love them. Amen. I'm going to continue to love them because it's a decision. Regardless of the flaws, regardless of the actions that take place. This is a hard one for us. Because when the person that we think loves us, for instance, my wife, I know my wife loves me. There's no doubt in my mind. But what's hard for us is if we have somebody that loves us and then does something against us to hurt our feelings or something that breaks our trust, our initial response is a hurt and an emptiness, and then there's a barrier that goes up because of part of the trust is now broken. God's love says, I have no barriers. Your sin, I could put a barrier there. The thing that you keep going back to over and over again, as Hebrews talks about, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. God says, I could put a barrier there, a blockage there that says, I'm not going to trust you so much because you keep going back to that over and over again. And why should I give you my love if that's how you're going to be towards me? Who died on the cross, who sacrificed myself, who spent all that he had. He who knew no sin became sin. Could you imagine if God said to us what we say to everybody else when somebody hurts us? If God said, wait, you're going against me? Well, then I'm going to put this barrier up and I'm not going to trust you anymore. But yet, 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, washes it away. Amen. He removes it. That's what love does. Love removes the barriers that we may place up because it's a decision. Because it's founded on God. I love my wife and I've decided to do that because God loves me. I know that God loves me regardless of what I've done, regardless of the actions that I may take. God still has decided to love me so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for me, pay for my sins, provide for me, and then give me a home in eternity. And then God says in Ephesians that I'm supposed to do the same thing for my wife. It says here, it says that giving thanks always for all things in God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. My job as a husband is to love my wife unconditionally, regardless of the actions. God says it's supposed to be the exact same as his love for the church, and that he died for it. Not only did he die for it, but then it also says that he sanctified it, he set it apart, and he cleansed it with the washing of the water, that it might present itself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Which means that when my wife comes to me, I'm supposed to have that type of love. If I don't, I'm sinning against God. If I have a barrier up between myself and my wife, I am sinning against God. This is important for us. We don't see it that way. We see it as we're protecting ourselves. I can't trust them. I have to guard myself. God doesn't guard himself against us. There's no barrier that exists. And if our love is supposed to be the same as what his love is for us, we're not supposed to have that barrier there. It's supposed to be just trust. Amen. It's supposed to be just love. If we don't, anything but what God says is sin. Which means I'm not right with God if I'm not right with my spouse, regardless of what's happened. My job is not to judge. I'm not her judge. My friends that I have, I'm not their judge. I'm not supposed to come up and say, well, you're doing this and I don't agree with you. Now, if it's something scriptural, that's different. But I'm not their judge. I'm supposed to just love them as a friend. Which means, regardless of who they are, what they've done, I've decided that's my friend. I'm going to care for them. Any member of this church is supposed to have my love. As 1 Peter talks about, that we're supposed to have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity covereth the multitude of sins. Now, we're quick to say amen when we need to do that with our spouse. It's a different story when it's a church member. It's a different story when it's a coworker. It's a different story when it's your neighbor. But if you're supposed to have the love of God in your life, it shouldn't matter. Because as Christians, we're supposed to represent Christ. We're supposed to be how he would be on this earth. Which means we can't hold back. And yes, do you know what that means? We're going to get hurt. We're going to have to put ourselves out there. We're going to have to love somebody who doesn't deserve our love, as we feel. Just like I don't deserve God's love. Just like I don't deserve my wife's love. But I get it. And I'm supposed to be that way towards everybody else. as a Christian, as a representation of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to be how he would be on this earth. And the problem with that is, for us, we have a fear that we're going to get hurt. We have a fear that somebody is going to take advantage of us. We have a fear that somebody is going to use that purposely and manipulate it to their advantage. But if we give it to God, it shouldn't matter. If we have it centered, I'm doing this not because of what I can get from it, but because the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to love even my enemies. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I'm supposed to love my wife. I have to make that decision, then I have to follow through with it and depend on Christ to be there for me when I may feel hurt, to keep that barrier down so that I don't sin against God. Do you know why charity is the greatest? This is my favorite part. Charity is the greatest because it's the only one that's eternal. Our faith and our hope is one thing, and it keeps us going here on earth. Our faith keeps us grounded and centered on Christ. Our hope helps us with that eternity part, as far as we know that heaven is prepared for us. But eventually, both of those will go away. When we get to heaven, our faith ceases. It stops. Because faith is believing in something that we can't see. When we get to heaven and we step foot on them celestial shores, our faith becomes sight. Just as it says here, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." He said, when I'm face to face with God, he says, now I know in part. He said, now I have an idea, but there's still a little bit of faith there. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. He says, when I see God, I'm going to know 100% sure. My faith is done. It's over. Amen. The hope of getting to heaven, that's done too. Because we'll be there. The only one of those three that's eternal is God's love. Because every day that we spend in heaven, we'll have that reminder of His love. We'll see those nail prints in His hands constantly. We'll have that reminder of why we're there, and we can look at that and say, God's love for me still exists. I don't deserve it, but I get it. For all eternity, it'll never stop. God's love is eternal. But yet for ours, we think of it as an on and off switch. As a kid, you have that wonderful little flower, and they'd say, "He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not." And you're hoping on that last one that it's a "he loves me." It's a on and off thing. Is it going to happen or isn't it? Sometimes that's how we are towards people around us. When our emotions match up, we flip the switch on. When our emotions aren't there, we flip it off. Where God says, my love is eternal. Amen. There is no on and off switch. It's constant. It's everlasting. As I was preparing for this message, there's several parts where I was reading about how love is everlasting. Never ending. That's what God's love is. And that's how our love is supposed to be. If we have it centered on God and we're doing it how God would want us to, how he would be if he was here on this earth. There's no on and off. There's no, well, they broke my trust. That friend of mine that I had, they hurt me. So the switch is off now until they make it right. My family member did this to me, and so that switch comes off until they make it right. That's not love. Amen. That's emotions. God says, God is love. It's eternal. Never ends. It's always there, regardless of what we do. It'll cover the multitude of sins. And that's the type of love that he wants us to have, that we should desire to have. But the truth is that most of us don't, because we base it off of emotions rather than a decision. I'm deciding to love this person regardless of what happens. I may get hurt. I may get trampled on. But I still love him. Do you know why Paul, after he was stoned, got up, went back to that city? Because he had the love of God in him. His love for those people said, even though you stoned me, I still love you and want you to go to heaven. That's amazing. Paul's able to do that, though, because his faith and his emotions, it's not what he was going off of. Because they're like a wave, rising and falling. It was a decision, and he based it off of a biblical principle, and he saw it through all the way. Stone me? That's okay. I still love you. Hurt me? Trample on me? That's okay. I still love you. Love you enough that I'll come back and risk my life for the chance that one more person can come to know Christ as their Savior. Wouldn't it be something if people could see that type of love in us? What a change and a difference that we could make in our world by having that type of love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as your love is eternal for us, there's no on and off switch. It's not based off emotions. It's not based off of if we do something great for you. It's just a decision you've already made. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have that type of love. Lord, I thank you that you loved me enough that you paid for my sins on Calvary, and that my name is settled in heaven, written in that book, and I never have to worry about it because of your love. I pray that you'd help me to have that type of love in my life. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, if you've never experienced that love before, it's hard for you to give it to somebody else. As the Bible says, he that knoweth not God, God's love. And if you've never known God, today we'd like to show you how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If there's somebody here that says, that's me, I've never done that before, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, I really don't know what that's about, but I'd like to. If you'd lift your hand, I'd like to pray for you. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for just this time that you're able to meet with us. Lord, I pray that you would just seal in our hearts the type of love that we're supposed to have. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go our separate ways. I pray that you'd be with our pastor as well, as he's going to be coming back on Friday. I pray that you'd help us to be there and welcome him and just enjoy that sweet fellowship with him as he's been away. And give us a great evening in your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.